the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of the Center for Free Society. Joseph, I come to you because the protests these last weeks have not ebbed, and the protests are concentrated, we're told, in the Andean highlands. These are people who very much support Castillo, who remains detained, and who are associated with exploitation for centuries, not just these last years. We're also dealing with a country that is rich in natural resources. Copper is everywhere. As I'm told, you can kick a rock in Peru and make money with it. So these protests and this violence, who supports it? Or is it homegrown? In other words, these are indigenous people protesting, although they're protesting in the capital as well. Ernesto points to outside actors, and I point to Evo Morales of Bolivia. Does the upset, the turmoil, the inability of Peru to settle down, does that suit Morales? What is his ambition in this whole region, given that his country very much has entangled itself, I don't know what the right word is, with Castillo? So what does Morales want to your measure, Joseph?
Well, John, I think what's happening in Peru obviously has its local dimension, local elements, but really it's becoming a conflict with high levels of foreign intervention and foreign disinformation. Among that is obviously Bolivia and Evo Morales, and I'll touch on that in a second. But I think there are other actors as well that are amplifying the instability inside the country. You know, at our Western Hemisphere Security Forum that we held on January 19th, we had virtually the participation of a congresswoman from Peru. Her name is Adriana Tudela, and she gave about a 3-minute video remarks about the situation in Peru, which is available on our website now. And one of the things she said really caught my attention. She said that this is a conflict in which international actors are taking advantage of a situation to essentially break up a country. This kind of was a paraphrasing, but essentially was her point. She mentioned Colombia. She mentioned Mexico. She mentioned Argentina. But she prominently mentioned Bolivia. Now, let me turn to that. So the thing about Evo Morales in Bolivia was that since Evo Morales left power, meaning that he resigned from the presidency back in 2019, as you remember, he moved to all these countries. He was in refuge over in Mexico at first, and then he went down to Argentina. These are the countries that Adriana Tudela was talking about. And what I always suspected, and we have to, I think, investigate this further, was he developed networks in these countries when he was there. Not just political networks, but also activist networks that engage in robust disinformation. So what I think is happening right now inside Peru is there's a specific narrative that's being formed, which is A, that the democracy doesn't work, that's in complete disarray and disorder, and that they need to radically change not just the government, but change the whole way the country functions. And B, that the country's inherently racist. It's a country where the indigenous populations have been historically marginalized, and that there is no inclusion and there is no opportunity, and therefore they need to take matters into their own hands, in many cases violently, which is what we're seeing today. And so this, I think, is where Evo Morales is really making, provoking a lot of this problem inside Peru, is these networks that he's developed in Mexico, in Argentina, extends all the way to Venezuela, to Cuba, and he's able to control it through his echo chamber that he's developed inside Bolivia. I've argued this before, John. I believe Evo Morales is more powerful now, and not as the president, but as an outside actor in Bolivia, than he was even when he was president of Bolivia, because he didn't have to worry about the governing part of that country, which I'm sure he was never a fond of. And all he now worries is about the destabilization part, which is what he was always known to do. So I think Evo Morales is a critical factor, but not the only factor. I think, you know, he's working within a network, and that network is decided to basically divide Peru and turn it into a country with complete disarray and disorder.
Ernesto, the Organization of American States is weighing in at this moment and very carefully about Peru, supporting President Boluarte, but also supporting a constitutional process. Is the OAS a vivid member of the transnational community that operates in South America and Central America? 100 years ago, the OAS was the new big progressive development in the New World. It had to do with the presumption of the Monroe Doctrine, the concern that America made about the European powers in investing themselves with gunboats or investment or claims in South America. I believe there was a tangle with England. There was a tangle with Germany. The OAS was a response to all that. It's more than 100 years later. Does the OAS have weight?
Well, John, less than it should, I think. The OAS could be a great instrument to promote democracy, especially across the hemisphere. It has a democratic charter signed in the 70s, I think, which could, and we're trying to use that in our time to help Venezuela recover its democracy. But the OAS suffers from the anti-Americanism of the whole left and parts of the mainstream in Latin America, because it's seen still as a as an instrument of the United States to control Latin America, which I don't think it is. I think there is a, well, maybe a problem in the past, but today the OAS could be a force for democracy, as I said, and I mean, things that help democracy, like free markets and development, of course. So with Luis Almagro, it gained more, let's say, protagonism, especially regarding the Venezuelan situation. But now I think the OAS is basically in the hands of its members, right? And most of its members are sympathetic to this big transformation, this big shift of Latin America towards, sorry to repeat that concept, but towards narco-socialism. So I don't see it really playing a useful role.
Joseph, just quickly, is it accurate to say that Castillo remains detained and that AMLO's appeal to let him go and so he can seek sanctuary in Mexico has not been responded to by Balarte? Is that all accurate?
As far as I know, John, I think you're correct. I don't think that there's been any motion to release Castillo so far from the government of Peru. However, the narrative, the disinformation, the social media activity is very high, and they're driving it. They're still driving that narrative today.
Joseph Ullmeyer, executive director of Center for Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. When we come back, the U.S. has been meeting with 11 countries from the New World, and Chancellor Scholz of Germany has been touring South America looking for partnerships, resources, a new day for the environment. When we come back, this is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.